Yes, I have to follow that with a sermon. So, today marks exactly 1 week until Easter Sunday, and it's the beginning of what many Christians call Holy Week. Today we remember Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. When Jesus arrives in the city, liberation is on the people's minds. Not only because they live under Roman occupation and are oppressed and do not hold the rights of full citizens of the state. Liberation is on their minds because they are about to celebrate Passover, the feast in remembrance of God's deliverance of the Hebrew people from the hands of Pharaoh. It commemorates when the angel of death passed over the houses of God's people on the same night that they would be released from slavery into freedom. So as the Jewish people prepared for this commemorative feast of deliverance in the holy city of Jerusalem, some were also preparing the way for the man that they believed would deliver them from their suffering at the hand of Rome. So as Jesus rides into the city on this donkey colt, as we just witnessed, the people welcome him as they would welcome a king. They shout praises as he passes by. "This is the man who will save us," they think. "We have seen the wonderful things he has done and heard his wonderful liberating teachings. We have seen him restore sight to the blind, make the lame walk, and raise the dead to life. Even though he is just the son of a carpenter, he speaks with authority to the most educated scholars among us and has never once been stumped by their questions. We know that this man, compassionate, courageous, and wise, a man who is not afraid to speak the truth to power, and stand with the people that society casts aside. He is a true man of the people. There is no one like this Jesus that we follow. This is why he will be our king. We will follow him, and he will restore our dignity and save us from the oppression of the empire we are living in." No wonder the people were excited to see Jesus coming. I would have been too. Sign me up. Let's go. I'll follow this Jesus that's going to fix all my problems and make everything right in the world. If Jesus were here in the flesh today, I would love to take him around with me everywhere I go, take him to all the hurting people in the world, have him heal everything with a magic touch. I would love for Jesus to usher in peace for all and heal all the broken places in our world. Jesus definitely sounds like the best kind of king, even for someone who's not a huge fan of monarchies. I can understand why the people welcomed him the way they did that Passover week. But unfortunately, Jesus would not be their king, at least not in the way that they were hoping for. They thought, as they welcomed him, that they were laying down their coats to pave the way for Jesus' victory as king, the defeat of Rome, when they were really paving his path to a Roman cross. Jesus would not save them from the oppression of the Romans. He would die. And in the years after his death, it would get way worse before it got better. The temple would be destroyed. The Jewish people would be scattered once again. Political and religious persecution wouldn't stop, and some might even say that things seemed even more bleak than when Jesus was alive. How disappointing. When the one person that you have faith in, the one who you think is going to solve all of your problems, the one person sent by God to make a difference, the Son of God himself, doesn't come through for you in the way you were hoping. It's really easy to get excited about following Jesus when we see good things happening in our lives, healings, growth, success stories. All of these things may make us want to grab our hypothetical palm branches and join the crowds in shouting Hosanna. But life isn't always like that, is it? Sometimes Jesus doesn't show up for us in the way that we're hoping. Sometimes the thing that we expect is not the thing that happens. Jesus does something completely unimaginable, maybe even the exact opposite of what we were hoping for. Sometimes following Jesus is confusing and really, really hard because Jesus has a tendency to jump out of the boxes that we put him into. So I've been thinking a lot about these boxes that we put Jesus into in terms of our images of Jesus and my own personal images of Jesus. And my absolute favorite image is the one that really speaks to my soul is the Jesus image of Jesus welcoming the children. I love imagining myself as a little girl running into the arms of Jesus, him picking me up in the air, swinging me around, giggling, sitting on his lap while he tells me stories and makes me laugh, or falling asleep in a warm, safe snuggle. That's the side of Jesus I love. I love to interact with that Jesus. It comforts me, it helps me feel loved by God, and it gives me strength to face the tough things in life. And it's an important image of Jesus, but it's not the only one. Jesus, like any other human, has many facets to who he is. Think of any person you know, a family member, a friend. Even relative strangers have many sides to them that we may not be aware of. My mom, for example, isn't just a mom. She's someone's sister. She's someone's friend. She's a nurse. She's a prankster. She's a storyteller, a gardener, and a huge Disney fan. There are a lot of sides to my mother. She is so many things. And there may be certain parts of her that I interact with more. But the fact that I know her most as a mother doesn't make her any less of a daughter or a prankster or anything else. I think it's the same way with Jesus. We all have certain parts of Jesus that we interact with and understand the most. For me, it's the Jesus who welcomed the children. Maybe for you, it's Jesus the healer or the teacher. Or maybe it's Jesus the party animal who got in trouble for partying too hard. Or maybe it's introvert Jesus who runs away to the mountains when the crowds get too overwhelming. Whatever your favorite way to think of Jesus is, though, it's not the only way. And sometimes you might encounter a Jesus that makes you a little bit more uncomfortable. A side of Jesus that makes following him a little bit more of a challenge. And the question for us is, when we come face to face with these confusing or uncomfortable images of who Jesus is, will we still be committed enough to stay by his side? I think that this is what happened with the crowds of people the week of Jesus' death. When he enters Jerusalem on the colt as King Jesus, they are ecstatic. This is the Jesus we've been dreaming of. Our deliverer is here, our king. But later in the week, when they come face to face with Jesus the criminal, staying the course feels a whole lot harder. To be honest, I don't think we're very comfortable with this idea of Jesus the criminal either. I mean, how many sermons have we heard on that topic lately? But that's what he was, right? I mean, regardless of whether we think that he was innocent, as many labeled criminals actually are, he was arrested and incarcerated at the hands of the state. He was perceived as a threat and ultimately received the death penalty. In fact, in our society, if he had been arrested, died, and even maybe resurrected here in the U.S., his status as a criminal would prevent him from voting. He would never really be able to fully integrate back into society. This is part of who Jesus is. In addition to all the other things, healer, teacher, children, lover, friend of everyone, Jesus is also a criminal, a rabble-rouser, and an enemy of the state. I don't think, this is just a guess, but I don't think we're usually thinking about those things when we talk about modeling Jesus here at PMC. I mean, I think what we're usually talking about is modeling the things of Jesus, like the healings Jesus did, or comforting the oppressed, or welcoming those who are at the margins of society. We feel called to show the love of Jesus to others, which means, for us, usually, being nice people. Kind people, not troublemakers who get arrested. But even though we think this, and this is our default, somewhere in the back of our minds, we know that people have gotten arrested for following Jesus. Many of Jesus' followers, even some of our ancestors, were arrested because of their convictions. Martin Luther King Jr. was arrested for living out his commitment to Jesus by fighting for civil rights. And many other pastors and leaders and activists are arrested today in this country for similar reasons. But I'm sure if I were sitting behind bars right now, this image of criminal Jesus, image of Jesus who gets arrested, would be quite comforting to me. It would be a Jesus who understands what I'm going through, who has been there, who knows. But until I'm in that place, it actually makes me really uncomfortable because it means that I'm following someone. I've committed my life to a God who could get me into some serious trouble. And maybe that's how Jesus' followers were feeling that week when they saw Jesus get arrested. We are often so hard on the Palm Sunday crowd who hailed Jesus as king and then failed to stand by him when things got hard. We often think, if we were there, we wouldn't have done that. We would have stuck by Jesus. We would have been the ones who showed up at the cross. But honestly, maybe we wouldn't have. And this Palm Sunday crowd, I can't help but feel compassion for them. They must have been so disappointed when Jesus, the king that they thought would end their suffering, ended up experiencing the absolute worst kind of suffering right along with them. He didn't bring down the Roman Empire. The Romans brought him down. It looked like Jesus' plan had completely failed. And that is where Holy Week leaves us. In this horrible liminal space where we have to wrestle with our faith as we watch the Savior that we put all of our hope in suffer and die. Now, unlike his followers, we know the end of the story, right? We know that even though Jesus might have failed to be victorious in bringing down the Roman Empire, a plan that I don't really think was ever on his agenda to begin with, Jesus does succeed in defeating death. But on that first Holy Week, as people watched Jesus being taken away, questioned, imprisoned, and finally killed, they probably felt like they were watching all of their dreams die forever. This week creates space for us to mourn. All the places in our world that we hoped that Jesus would have fixed by now but are still broken. It gives us space to grieve all the evil that corrupt empires have wrought on this earth and lament all the suffering that they have caused, including the suffering of our Savior. This is the week where we walk with Jesus the loser, Jesus the prisoner, the criminal, the failure, Jesus who is brought down by Rome, a Jesus that perhaps we might even be embarrassed to be associated with. This is the week when we are reminded to stand by Jesus, even when it looks like evil is winning. Can we do it? Can we stay by Jesus' side on this roller coaster week where we plunge from the high of King Jesus on a donkey to the depths of criminal Jesus on a cross? Can we stay by Jesus' side in his suffering the way he stays beside us in ours? Can we walk the full journey on that stony road to Golgotha, the hill where Jesus was crucified? That is the challenge of Holy Week. And it's not easy. As we wrap up this time of reflection this morning, I want to invite you to join me in reading the prayer of response that's written in your bulletin. It's a prayer that asks God to help us to be present to Jesus throughout this week, Jesus in all his forms. And as we draw near to Jesus in his suffering, I believe our compassion for those who suffer in any way in this world will grow. And as a result, we will be more equipped to share God's healing and hope in our broken world. Let us pray the prayer of response together. Lord Jesus Christ, in this sacred and solemn week, when we see again the depth and mystery of your redeeming love, help us to follow where you go, to stop where you stumble, to listen when you cry, to stay with you through your suffering, to bow our heads in sorrow when you die, so that when you are raised to life again, we may share in your endless joy. Amen.